I want to talk to you today, very simple message, the authority of God in the difficulties of life. The authority of God in the difficulties of life. I don't intend to be particularly long, after which we have a couple of songs just to allow God to minister. Maybe it'll be a time for you to pray with people or for people or to receive prayer. You know, God really knows us. That's good news, isn't it? It's not always good news when other people know you, because they know all about everything. And they can tend to sort of yap about it a bit, have a go about it a bit, pull you down, things like that, yeah? But God really knows us, and he knows how to reach out to us, and he can use any language, any method he likes to reach us. And this morning we're just going to look at a way that Jesus speaks to a particular church. But I want to tell you more about it first before we actually read it, because then when you read it, you'll see how it links in so perfectly. You'll see how God is the perfect communicator. You'll see how God knows how to come on in exactly the right way to speak a language that maybe only you really know, because it's geared towards you. And Jesus is going to come to this area, and he speaks to the church. And the church is in a difficult sort of community. It's a place where there's lots of earthquakes. So there's a bit of instability. In fact, there's been two major earthquakes in recent years. Although time has moved on, there's a lot of tremors, a lot of earth tremors there. The walls have to be rebuilt. In fact, in John's day, because John who's writing this, they were just in the process of getting some of the major work done. And so the taxes were very high. And so it's difficult. You're in an unstable area. Do you know what it's like to be unstable in life? Not to be sure what's happening. Some of you have struggled with various things, with health, with housing, with all manner of things. It's not nice, is it? Agreed? It's not nice, is it? There can be an instability there. And yet the area was also a rich area, because you had a lot of good soil and had a particular wine that was grown there. It was a well-known wine region. And so people didn't really want to leave the area. Had a large number of tents, a large number of very lightweight buildings, so to speak, so that if there were earth tremors, well, they could rebuild very quickly. So it was an area used to wealth, used to instability, used to difficulty. And for the Christians, it was even tougher, because in the day and the time in which John writes, you were generally in a job that was attached to a guild, and most of the guilds had the worship of false gods. So if you've just become a Christian and you're going into your workplace and they're saying, you've got to worship our gods or else, you're getting kicked out. Can you imagine what that's like? How do you make ends meet? Do you know what it's like sometimes, and a lot of people here do? How do you make ends meet? It's very, very difficult, isn't it? And then you've got the synagogue as well. The synagogue's not the same anymore. After the resurrection of Jesus Christ, every single sacrifice that ever occurs in the synagogue is pagan. And people don't like to hear that. But when Jesus Christ paid the price for your sins, that was the end of any sacrificial system within Judaism. If you hold on to that sacrificial system, you're calling God a liar, or you're just ignoring what's happened. And so there are a lot of people who knew what it's like to be kicked out of things, to have the door closed to them, not to be allowed in, to be disenfranchised, to be in a difficult community. And one of the things Jesus says is, the door of heaven is always open to you. The door of heaven is always open to you. He also talks to them about not losing their crown. What is that? That crown speaks of authority. We are a royal priesthood, yeah? a holy nation. But sometimes Christians lose their authority because they allow the things around them to control them. Their time, their effort, their energy, their emotion is taken up totally with the here and now, the problems, the difficulties, the homes, the lives, the workplace. And they're not standing in the authority that God wants them to have. There's very little difference between the world and those sort of people. Jesus says, I see you. I know you. Be careful. And I'm going to write my name on you. Well, that's weird, isn't it? Are we talking about tattoos there? No. Name speaks of nature and character. It speaks of who God is. God says, I'm going to show that you are mine. In the ancient world, you'd write your names on buildings to say, I own that building. For example, Nebuchadnezzar in his palace and across the whole empire, I'd have all the stones with his name on them. God says, look, you and I want you to know that I will write my name on you, that you will get there, that you will be free, that you are mine. I want you to walk in authority now, no matter what you're going through. Don't be distracted. And no matter how many doors have been shut to you, I want you to know this. Heaven is always open. Let's now read those words. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 7 to verse 13. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. In other words, these are the words of the one who has supreme authority over all things. Back in Israel's history, there was a guy called Shebna. Shebna, he was doing all right for himself. Part of the government, had the keys. The keys to the palace and the keys to the city. And Shebna got a little bit too big for his boots, and so what he started doing was building his own mausoleum. That's weird, isn't it? He started building his own mausoleum for when he died. What was wrong with that? Well, the only people that were allowed to do that were kings. So Shebna had the authority, but it was delegated authority. It wasn't his own authority. And so he had gone along and started building, and the keys were taken from him and were given to somebody else. The power and the authority was given to somebody else. Here, the person who is speaking is the one who holds the key of David, who has all power and authority. You've gone through a tough time, Philadelphia. You're in a difficult area, Philadelphia. You've had doors closed to you, Philadelphia. You're struggling financially, Philadelphia. You're losing sight of the authority I've given you, Philadelphia. But I want to tell you this. These are my words into your life. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. I see you. See, I've placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know you've got little strength, but you've kept my word, and you haven't denied my name. I'll make those who have the synagogue of Satan who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I'll make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge. And acknowledge that I have loved you. That's beautiful, isn't it? There will be a time, as Paul writes, when every knee, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Listen, get something straight. This world is not the biggest thing you have. Heaven is. This world is pipsqueak size compared to heaven. The Bible says that the nations are like a drop in the bucket. But we get too fixed on the pipsqueak size. The day-to-day, the ins, the outs, the ups, the downs, the difficulties, the hardship. Instead of the King of Kings, the number one person who's speaking here. Absolutely incredible. You know, I remember that passage in Scripture where Job was being distracted. He didn't have that authority anymore. He was being distracted. Things were going wrong. He was struggling. And God comes up to him and just says this. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footing set? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place? When I said, this far you may come and no further. Here is where your proud waves halt. There's a lot of difficulty, there's a lot of hardship, but you know you belong to the supreme creator of the heavens and earth. Your name is known to him. No matter how small you feel, you are known to him. Don't lose sight of that. Don't get so distracted that you haven't got the authority. Authority is a gift. You cannot earn it. Authority is a gift. God will give authority to anybody who acknowledges him and seeks to serve him. Simple as that. In whatever you're going through. Some of you may be saying, well, no, it's a crown of life. Listen, a crown of life is a crown of authority, yes? Authority. A crown speaks of conquering, yes? A conqueror has authority, yes? God wants you to conquer everything in your life in his power. Agreed? It's not so hard, is it? Since you've kept my command to endure patiently, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world. You know, that hour of trial is going on, has been going on, and will go on. It is continuous. We are in a world that is not easy. But we're in a world where he says that he has the victory. We are, as Peter writes, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Do you get that? You and I belong to somebody. How often do you say that when you're going through a tough time, when things are going hard? Do you know what? I just need to start this day, Lord. It's so screwed up. It's so difficult. I want to say this. I belong to you. I acknowledge, I confess that aloud. I belong to you. Or do you rush into your day and you don't really pray and seek God? Why? Why do you want to do that? Why do you want to harm yourself? Why do you want to walk in your own strength? Why do you want to be caught up in the things of the world? And he says that he will help us in whatever we're going through. We heard that this morning, didn't we? Pastors looking after babies. David going into all manner of difficulty, people dying. A young man who can turn around and say, I forgive you. The greatest thing I want is for you to know Jesus Christ. And can I hug you? Guys in India sitting in wooden little huts with dirt floors praying and sharing the testimony of somebody who's been released. That's the gospel. I'm coming soon, verse 11. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Hold on to it. Don't let somebody make you think you're somebody else. You are a son or a daughter of the King of Kings. That's who you are. Don't let somebody else or something else or your emotions or your past or your history cut in on you. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. That's a beautiful picture, see, because a pillar was a significant of stability. when other things were shaken and the earthquake brought things down and stuff like that in different areas, the one thing that was often left standing, as you see in history, in archaeology, are what? Pillars. You're an archaeologist, Pete. You like that sort of thing, don't you? So God is using imagery, isn't he, there, that people understand. Never again will God leave it. Because, of course, when Israel was serving God, God was with them. When Israel wasn't serving God, God said, okay, I'll leave you to your own devices. I won't leave you alone, but I'll leave you to your own devices. If you want to learn the hard way, then you'll learn the hard way. But you will learn, because I love you. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which means peace, which is coming down from heaven. I write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah? Now, you may want to, in your theology, think that there's a literal Jerusalem coming down. No, there's not. It's not speaking about that. It's speaking about what it represents. The God is saying, I will be with my people in a place called peace. That no matter how small you feel, no matter what you've been thrown out of, no matter how people look down on you, no matter how people judge you, you are mine. And there are people that want to try and pull you away from me. They want to twist you and get you focused on other things. But I want to tell you that. Hold on to the crown of life in my power. Hold on to that authority that I've given you. Don't let the world and the things around it, your emotions and the things in you, separate you. I want you to be strong. You'll be like a pillar. It's imagery. Do you literally think you're going to be a pillar? Do you literally think that Jesus Christ is a green plant because he says, I'm the vine? It's imagery. It's talking about stability. It's talking about security. And about having his name is saying that you are mine, and who I created you to be will be birthed through my work, by my spirit, in my way. Now, is that good news, church? That's good news, isn't it? I'm going to stop there. You can take any passage and we can go forever, can't we? Beautiful. I'm the one who has authority. What I open, no one can shut. I know your deeds. Other people may not see you, but I see you. Heaven's an open door. You've got little strength, I know that, but you've kept my word. You haven't denied my nature and character. Those that are going on with religion, one day they're going to see, because they will all fall down. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father, that I love you. And you're enduring patiently, and I will keep you. I will keep you in the hour of difficulty. When difficulty comes, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That word keep is beautiful. In the Old Testament, it speaks of a line of tents, a perfect line of tents, of being kept in perfect order. It speaks of being protected, a corral around the sheep. And I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have. When you overcome, you will be a pillar. And I will be with you never again. There won't be this coming and going. I will be with you and you'll be with me. Eden matured, I call it. You'll be in a place of peace, a place of security, because you are mine. Is that good? Does that readjust the focus a little bit, guys? You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. So can you see how God uses a language that the people at Philadelphia would understand, yeah? God can use a language that you'll understand. If you're open to him, if you're available to him, he will use a language that you can understand, that you won't find confusing, that you won't find difficulty. If you're really open, if you're really available, he will do that. It's not confusing. It's not difficult. If you're available, he will. Because he's done that down through history. He's always used language that communicates to people. You're noticed. You're loved. you're strengthened, you're encouraged. You can stand in his authority. Don't be distracted. Amen. We've heard testimony this morning. We've sung songs. Been reminded about God's goodness. There's a couple of songs for us to listen to now. Well, maybe listen to is the wrong sort of thing, because it's about engaging, isn't it? Very simple song. This first one is Revival. We use it on a Wednesday night. It's amazing what God does when we just quieten down sometimes, that little bit more. It's an opportunity to pray with each other. It's an opportunity to receive prayer. Maybe you'd like someone to pray for you. You could ask the person next to you, could you please pray with me? I want to respond. I want to see afresh the goodness of God. And the second one is No One But You. Speaking again of God's goodness. So relax. It's not about straining to get to. It's relaxing and realizing who's come to you and to me. So get that first song on. Let's just pray. Father, we just ask humbly that because of who you are, that you would continue to engage with us, not as an endorsement of what we've done this morning, but because of your love, because of your grace, because of your mercy. Maybe we've been struggling, maybe we've been straying, maybe we haven't got the focus right, maybe we haven't been walking in authority, Lord. If so, help us, forgive us, cleanse us, renew us. You are more than willing, and equip us in this time. Heal us, restore us. So if you want to stand, if you want to sit, if you want to move around, that's fine. That's fine.